So, but probably most of you are familiar with such an image. This is from Google Earth, and I would say this is the most famous or most prominent example of a 3D city model. Some of you might say, that's not really a 3D city model at all, but we could actually consider it because it's 3D, it represents a city, and it's a virtual model of the reality. But what we see here, what this does is actually, it is a meshed model, so we have a triangle blanket, so to speak, draped over the surface of the terrain, and we have texture on it. And the texture allows us to identify objects in this model. So we know that this is the Intercontinental Hotel, and there are trees and there are roads and such. But a part of this human, let's say, recognition, the machine doesn't really know which part of the mesh represents what. And that is why we have semantic models, where for each object we have a label. If it's a building, if it's a water body, or if it's a traffic area, or et cetera. And once we have these semantic models, then we can use them to quickly subset, or relatively quickly subset, the 3D model and take only the parts from the model that is interesting for us. And that allows us to do applications such as wind flow simulation in a city, or many, many more to estimate energy demand in buildings, simulate noise, and so on and so forth. But what actually we see in reality, because in our group we maintain this list of open data sets, so open 3D models that people can find these days online. They come in different shapes and sizes and also in very different quality. And what we've seen in our group is, although there's a lot of data produced, but not so many, we don't really see that many applications. We don't see a widespread use of these models as a part of visualization. And of course, looking at these models is very nice, but I believe their value goes far, far beyond than having something too pretty to look at. And that is one of the main concerns actually in our group, and what we are trying to help people to overcome this, because in truth, actually these models are relatively complex, and that's because 3D, it's because our environment, so the infrastructure in a city, it is complex. That is how it's in reality, and once we try to translate it into a computer or into a virtual model, digital model, then we have to have some level of complexity as well. So we have objects that consist of many, many parts, and they can model in different manner, in different ways, and then we have to be able to use those in our applications. So that is why we are working on that is why we developed CityJSON, which is a data format, so to speak. It is a JSON-based data format for storing these 3D city models. And CityJSON actually aims to be as simple as possible. So we try to really cut down the unnecessary complexity, because what we've seen in the past is that complexity kills applications, not even kills, but prohibits developing software that actually use these models. And therefore, the other thing that contributes to the to complexity in data formats is, for example, if we have nesting of objects in a of stuff in a data structure, then it's kind of a nightmare to parse through and traverse through with these. Yeah, all these levels, and then take the part that is relevant for the application. And actually, our philosophy in our group in general is that implementation always comes first. So we always try if we have an idea, we always try it first in a proof of concept. We write a small piece of software to see how that works, and if that works, then it ends up in CityJSON, for example. The complete story is that CityJSON itself is actually taking the data model from CityGML. And if you are familiar with CityGML, or if you are not familiar with CityGML, CityGML is an international standard for storing 3D city models. It is from OGC. And it's actually, in theory, it has two parts, a data model and the GML encoding. But technically, these two are very tightly coupled. Hence, actually, it's in the name GML, CD GML. But we don't really like GML. I'm not sure how many of you work with GML or has done ever. So in our understanding, GML definitely contributes to this unnecessary complexity. And this is something that was one of the key points that we wanted to reduce. That's why we said, okay, let's take the data model from CTGML, which is good, but redo it in JSON. So that's why we have CTJSON. And it turns out to be quite effective. I mean, a part of having a simpler way to read and write files, it also considerably reduces the file size. And for example, there is this open data set from Zurich, and the size of the GML, CTGML file is about 3 gigabytes. And once we translate that into CTJSON or transform that, then becomes 300 megabytes. And now I'm not really very familiar with web development, but I will be surprised actually if any of the web developers prefer sending XML or GML over the web above JSON. So that was one of the other reasons why we thought, why not use just JSON instead of GML? So we have a large compression factor, and then if you are curious more about the differences between CTGML, more about the design choices behind CTJSON, then I invite you to read our article. It's been recently published. It's a relatively easy read, I would say. It's open access, everybody can download it. So take a look. And yes, we are definitely guilty of charge. So we are developing, you might ask, we are developing yet another standard. However, I hope that by the end of this presentation, you will be convinced, especially if you work with 3D city models before, especially if you work with 3D CTGML before, I hope you will be convinced the merits of our approach in this case. So now, that was more or less the introduction, and I'm going to show you a little bit what's under the hood in CTJSON actually. And CTJSON is just a regular JSON file, as you say, but we have a specific set of properties or specific objects in the JSON, and that is governed by the CTJSON schema. And the key concept in CT models, as according to the CTJSON data model, is the presence of CT objects. So we use CT objects to represent real-world objects. So we have different types. For example, for representing buildings, we have a building type of CT objects. And CT objects can have geometry, and they have children, so there can be a hierarchy of CT objects, and they have attributes, and etc. But notice that in case of CT objects, even though there's a hierarchy, we store everything at the root level of the document. So we do not nest CT objects into object into objects, but actually we put everything into the root, and we use their IDs. So we use their unique IDs to link one to another and establish this hierarchy. And this linking of this ID-based linking is a very central concept to the whole CTJSON itself. And so, when CT objects have geometry, and the geometry actually it does not only consists of the shape or how to say the boundary of the geometry, because this is a semantic model, so a part of the actual boundaries. There is a semantic definition. And the boundaries itself, this is probably the biggest difference between what you might be used to in terms of, let's say, using simple features, because we ditch the simple feature use, and we opted for the OBJ type of geometry definition, where at the end of the file we have a list of vertices, and then in the boundary definition we use the indices to those vertices to define the surfaces and the geometric types. And it helps us to actually reduce the file size and gives a bit more extra topology in the file, and which is quite to the benefit when it comes to rendering. And we've seen that, well, OBJ is quite successful in 3D data in general, and we've seen that this format is very efficient, and that is why we opted for that too. So CTJSON is just a regular JSON file. You can, the advantage is that you can use the standard library and you can open the JSON, load it, and then there you go, you can get going. There's really not much more to that. But the so you need to know the schema very well, and that's why you find everything online in the schema documentation, what I showed in the beginning. But also, you might actually need to write everything from scratch, all the geometric operations, all the interactions between the geometry, depends on what you want to do. That is why we have CGIO. CGIO stands for CTJSON Input Output. And if you know Raster EO, that library, that was, I think, the inspiration for the name. So CGIO has a command line interface in which you can chain operations. So for example, you take a city model, reproject it and export it to a different format, and there you go. And also has an API, which you would use if you want to, let's say, build up a Python script or integrate CTJSON into another application. So you can install the library with pip, or what you see in this presentation, it is on the develop branch currently, so you can install it from GitHub. The command line interface works in this way. So you call CGIO, you have a wide range of commands, doesn't even fit here. So you can assign a new coordinate reference system. You can clean the model, compress, decompress, transform it into different formats. And basically, it's quite handy if you have a large model, you have no idea what's inside, and you want to take a look the generic properties of this model. It works relatively quickly and it's quite handy, I would say. Then, as I mentioned in the beginning, so we use CGIO in a fashion that we chain operations. First comes always the city model, then I exclude one particular object with its ID because I identify that I don't need that particular one. Then I merge another data, I merge another 3D city model into this one. Then take the output of this operation, reproject it into another coordinate system, and then save the output of that one. So the client, the command line interface is nice if you want to work with the whole city model at once, but it does not necessarily allow you to dissect the city model, take apart objects and work on the parts of those objects. And that is why we started working on the API, which actually aims to solve this, aims to help with this iterative workflow that is very common in data analytics, where somebody reads a file, explores it, then modifies it and writes it and do iterations of these options. And if some of you work with R and familiar with the tidyverse ecosystem, so to speak, then that was definitely something that we looked at in terms of like how libraries interact with each other. And so with the API, you would load, again, similar fashion, you would load a city model that gives you an object which is of type CTJSON. So I loaded that into my CM variable, which is a city model, and from the city model I can get my city objects. I'm interested in the buildings, or I'm interested in the buildings and the building part types of objects, or I can subset them by their ID. And then finally, the main point of this today's talk is, so how would an analytical workflow that I just explained, how would that look? So we can visualize a CTJSON file in QGIS thanks to QGIS 3 and the 3D viewer that is possible now. Then so again, I take the city model of Zurich, I load it into my Zurich variable, then I write a simple geometric function. In this case, I just want to compute the area of the footprint. And note that this works on one single city object. So for a city object, I take all the geometric, because a city object can have multiple geometric representations. That would be a case, for example, if you store level of detail one, so just a block model, but also a more detailed model in the same city model. Then I have to make sure that actually it is at least this geometry is level of detail 2 or higher, so because then it has semantic surfaces. Then I iterate through the surfaces, cast it to shapely polygon, and then I compute the area. So now I have my footprint areas, store it to a city object FP area variable. Then I also take the vertices. I override the city object in my city model. Then once I have my updated I have updated city model, I cast it to a data frame. This is a pandas data frame, which contains the city object attributes only. So it doesn't contain the geometric parts. But what it helps, the idea is that from the geometry you can compute these attributes and you put it into a data frame. And once you have a data frame, your possibilities are quite expanded, I would say, because then you can interface it with scikit-learn or any other machine learning library that is common in Python. So in this case, I just took these two variables, footprint area and the number of vertices, which is a completely arbitrary example, but illustrates the point. Then I clustered them because I wanted to identify these black points on the fringes. So I have those points selected, and I have those labels, so the cluster labels for them. Then I write the labels back into the city model, the similar fashion that I just showed before, overwriting the city object attributes. And once I have a new, once I have the city objects updated, I save it back to another file. And then once I have it another file, I go back to QGIS, and I visualize the output of the clustering. So I visualize the cluster labels. I have to say that in this case, I have to set up the styling rules manually, because it's not done automatically in QGIS. And at the very end of my talk, I'm going to show you a few software that we have in development. We have an online viewer, which is works similarly as the GeoJSON viewer, where you just drag a CityJSON file into the browser, and you can quickly take a look at it. I would say it's relatively performant, so I tried the Zurich city model, and it does visualize it. It's pretty slow in that case, but it's a very large model. So imagine, comparing to CityGML, imagine dragging a 3 GB file into your browser and trying to visualize it. I don't think that would be possible. So then we have the QGIS plugin. We have something called Azul, which is a Macintosh native viewer. And then this software is not developed by us, but it's made by Klaus Nagel from Virtual City Systems. And it helps you to convert from between CityGML and CityJSON. And that is the end of my talk. Here you, again, the repository for the slides and much, much more. I invite you to take a look and all these links that you've just seen. Thank you.
That's the best way if you head to the website of our group, or actually the best way if you head to the website cityjson.org, and there you have a tab datasets where we have available datasets. Yes?
I was really happy to see the CityJSON to come to life, because it's a big improvement over CityGML. I'm wondering, are you planning to submit it to OGC as a standard, so that it can kind of replace CityGML altogether?
Well, initially we did want to. However, I have to say that the reception from OGC's side was less than welcoming, because they seen it as a threat to CityGML, it's a strange idea, taking into account that we are talking about an open standard. So they didn't want CityJSON, didn't want to support CityJSON, and then we gave up. And now we're just trying to get traction to develop, see how people react to it, if they find it useful or not. And then we'll see what comes in the future. Yes?
Well, I really like the idea that there's no more testing, but everything is like in a flat table, that you want to actually say. Did you also consider, if your models get bigger and bigger, ways to improve logic in the sense of something like tiling, or you have a logical combination of entities together?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we are working on right now. And so in CGIO I implemented a 3D tiles exporter. It's not really it has quite a lot of bugs, but what it does basically breaks down a city model into tiles, and in that sense we can have tiles. But I'm not certain that's the most optimal approach. Actually, I don't have a clear answer in this case. Yes.
It may be related to the tiling. Have you thought about somehow combining it with 3D tiles protocol? So that you kind of add the semantic information to the geometry?
Yeah, that's what I just mentioned. So I implemented an exporter and it works okay-ish, but that's another story. Yes?
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. Two quick questions. One is, you say you take the data model out of CityGML separately, and I'm wondering what kind of data schema you use to express that model. And the second, I know there's a lot of work ongoing, I think also in Holland, about taking the data model out of CityGML and putting it into an RDF, so a semantic web ontology.
Yes.
And then you can do a JSON LD, JSON and data on, serialization.
Yes.
As opposed to city JSON. Could you comment on pros and cons of these two approaches?
Well, I can comment on a way that we are also working on transforming CityJSON into JSON-LD, or actually using linked dataset. At least one of our students is doing her research on that, exactly. Then taking out the data model from CityGML meant for us, actually CityJSON now is, we say, CityGML 2.0 version compliant. So we can do the same things what you can do in CityGML 2.0, you can do it in CityJSON as well. We did a few, so there are a few technical differences, but in terms of use or possibilities, that don't make difference. And one of these technical differences is the way we use model geometries, what I explained, that we have the vertex list, and so we don't use simple features as opposed to CityGML, for example. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
The question was, I gather from your example,
yes,
you're not using RDF or an ontology as a way to express the data model.
No,
the data model must be separate from your instance data. So.
Yes, but we haven't actually looked into that yet. We haven't really looked into linked data or representing our data model in such a manner. That is something that is our student is researching right now.
Okay,
yes.
You.